I was struck again with the thought when we had the Lord's Supper with the words that are repeated. And I was thankful for Tom Allen, who brought up the fact of the hymns that were the same with the word know and the things that we do know. And I think that's good. And so a little bit later in this, I want to know what you know, and we're going to have a little conversation on that, on a particular subject. But then also I was struck with the thought of thanksgiving, and we certainly can be a thankful people. And then we're thinking also now of going to the different homes. First of all, on the 9th at 7 o'clock, people, at the home there on Lake Avenue across from Jubilee. And then on the 20th, we're going to the hospital, Mercy Hospital, and we're starting there. So again, we're meeting at 7 o'clock. And then also for the other home where we had the school up here, the Lilly home, we're going there on the 23rd, that would be. So please keep those dates in mind, and we'll be on time as we get started for that. So with that, I was thinking about the fact we have so much to be thankful for, and as we're going now on this here opportunity that the Lord has given to us, I thought of that verse that came to my mind in Psalms 26. If we'll just turn there for a moment, the first verse that popped in my head was this, Psalms 26 and verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Oh, that each and every one of us might do it with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of thy wondrous works. In that psalm, we have in verse 3 where it says, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. So as I thought about the loving kindness of God to us that we're going to share with others, I just thought of a few other verses that we can look at real quickly before we start the other part. And that is Psalms 36. If we'll turn over there to Psalms 36 and verse 7, where it says these words, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. O, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. So thy loving kindness is before me, and how excellent is that loving kindness. Now let's just go over to Psalm 17, or turn back to Psalm 17. And there again we read in verse 7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. And then turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 40. It's Psalms 40 and verse 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Yes, the loving kindness and the truth will continually preserve us. What a great thing to know. Then, of course, there's that one in Psalms 103. Psalms 103 and verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Certainly all of us can say that we've been crowned with his loving kindness. And then that well-known verse in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And then most of us know that verse also in Psalm 63 and verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I lift up my hands in thy name. We could perhaps maybe just pause for a moment and sing that verse. I always have liked it that we can sing about his loving kindness. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I lift up my hands into thy name. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I lift up my hands in thy name. And then we have that verse over in Psalms 138. And verse 2. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Yes, he's magnified his word above all his name. And then one more that I thought of is in Isaiah chapter 63, and that's Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 7. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to the mercies, to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. That I would do the same thing, that I would mention the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, just another little thought that I want to give, and that is, if we turn to Psalms 14, chapter 14 and verse 2, and 3. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The phrase is, the Lord looked down. In his loving kindness, the Lord looked down. And the first one now here, the Lord looked down to do what? I'll have to read it again, I guess. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. So what did he do? Look down to see. The first time that we're reading about him now, he's looking down from heaven to see. And what he did see was the ruin, because men have gone aside after their own filthy works and so forth. Now turn over to Psalms 102. And in Psalms 102, we're going to read from verse 19 and 20. For he, again that's speaking of the Lord, hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven. Did the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. So the second time he looked down from heaven to do what? Pardon? To hear, right. The first time he looked down from heaven to see. Now he's looking down from heaven to hear. And what he wants to hear is repentance. In the first one, there was the ruin that he saw. But now he wants to hear repentance on their behalf. And so let's go back over to Psalms 33. Psalms 33. And we have a verse there again. In this Psalm, 33 and verse 19 through 22. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Verse 18 was the verse I guess I wanted to start with. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in mercy. And again, we find that his eye is looking upon us, and this time it's to do what? To deliver. Yes, the Lord wants to deliver. And so we find there that he wants to give that redemption. We had the ruin in the first one. Then we have repentance, and then we have redemption. And now let's look at just one more in Psalms 80. Psalms 80. And verse 14 and 15. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou makest strong for thyself. So the psalmist is asking the Lord to look down and do what? And visit. Yes. And so you see, what he's looking for is a revival that there might be. Oh, listen, the first time when the Lord looked down, he saw the ruin. And then he looked down to hear, and he wants to hear repentance. And then we found, too, that the Lord's eye is upon us to deliver us. He wants to give redemption, and he's also looking for a revival. Now, I had another thought or two, and I've got to make this quick out because it's really the last half that I want to get into, okay? So we've got looking for Jesus for salvation in John 1:36. Why are we looking for salvation there? Maybe you'll have to look at the verse. It's the second time that we read the phrase, "Behold the Lamb of God." What are we seeing? We see the Lord walking, and once again we see him as the Lamb of God. So we're looking upon him for salvation. But in Hebrews chapter 12, we're looking for Jesus, and we're looking unto Jesus for, not salvation, but for, yes, all right, Hebrews chapter 12, which is a very familiar, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, all right, well, so what are we looking there for? So we're not weary and faint in our minds, and that we continue in our service. So we're looking unto Jesus, upon Jesus. We're looking unto Jesus, and then we're looking for Jesus in Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, for our solace, because of the fact we're looking for Jesus. Oh, listen, my friends, not only have we looked upon him and are looking unto him as we serve, but we should be looking for him because he is coming again. Now, again, in my journeys as I have gone, I don't know if I shared this with you or not, but I was in the airport and I was witnessing to a group of people who were just at a Bible camp, and they were just rejoicing after I gave them out the tract that I gave them a Bible verse. And so I said to one of these ladies, and my sister-in-law was standing right next to me, I said, what would be your verse of assurance of salvation? And she said, well, the only one that I can think of is Jesus wept. And I thought my sister-in-law was going to lose it, you know. And I had a tough time standing there listening to that was the only verse after she had been a counselor at this here Bible camp that they had, and for assurance of salvation, that Jesus wept. And so I thought again of many times when I asked people to give me a verse to let them know that they are truly saved. So I was in the meeting in Rochester, and I also shared with them that it's important for us to know. I think of my sister when she went to college, that one of the questions on the opening thing was, is there anybody here that can give seven things that they know for sure? That they know. She was the only one in the whole class that could put down seven different things that she knew. And one of the things that she put down was the fact that she knew that she had eternal life. She knew that she was a sinner like everybody else. She knew that. And that's why. And so she listed down the things and gave a little, sort of like a little message there. That's not was the thought of it, but that was what she did as she said the things that she knew. It's amazing how many people could not give many things or anything that they really know. And one thing that you ought to be able to do is to say that you know you have eternal life. Well, I mentioned this, as I said, when I was in Rochester, and there was a man that said to me afterwards, he said, I didn't want to say hello to you. He said, even though I knew him, he said, I had to get out of here. He said, I knew that I could be one of the people that you would ask for a verse to say that I know that I'm saved. So he said, I thought I better go home and do a little searching on that. So he did, and in the evening when he came back, he had a couple verses for me. Well, it's amazing. I asked another man about that, and he said, well, I can give you a verse, but I can't tell you where it is. And I said, that's all right, but we'll talk about it. You give me the verse. And he said, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And that's found in Matthew, I can't hear you. Chapter 7, yes? Matthew 7:7, right. And you can always remember that verse of how to say it, because the fact, the three things is to ask, to seek, and to knock. You take the first letter of each one of those words, and what do you have? Ask, right. That's the key thing that you've got to do in order to have eternal life. So right now, what I want to do is for as many people as will to give me a verse of assurance of salvation, because you need to know that, okay? And so we'll start with our missionary that's home from now here visiting Mother, and she'll give her verse of assurance, okay, Peggy? Written? Yes, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, not hope or think, but know that you have eternal life. Okay, who else is going to be able to publish with the voice of thanksgiving something you know that you have eternal life? What would be your verse? Okay, Tom?
Romans 5:1.
Romans 5:1, therefore. Great verse, okay. Jason? Good. What's the key word in that verse for you, Jason? Have. That's right. You either have it or you don't have it. And that's the key word is have, which means you got it, you have it. Okay, you had one there. Go ahead. All right. Good. Okay. Now, Audrey, that was the one you had, but you may have others, I'm sure. Now, you know, I used to ask people when I was teaching a class at Camp Lilloli on how to talk to individuals, you know, that you don't ask questions with yes or no, and I used to ask the people that were counselors to give me at least 5 verses that they would have for assurance of salvation. I don't think that should be difficult for anybody who is a believer to be able to give it. I want to say again, my friends, it's not what I say. It's what God's Word says. And I was struck with this again as Brother Tom gave it Sunday morning. I know. I don't just think. I know, okay? And so who will give me another verse, okay? Audrey, I gave you time to think. Yeah. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Yes, amen. That's a great verse. Thank you, Bethel. Good. Okay, Bethel, thank you. That's a good portion. Thank you, Amy. Yeah, that's a good verse. That's verse 20 of chapter? No, it's chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 20. Okay, good. But that's good. Okay, Annette, you're raising your hand. No. Good. Acts 16:31. Good. Paula? Amen. There is nothing that can separate us. Paula, I saw your hand. Pardon? Oh, that's what I thought. Okay, good. Okay, Don. Yes. Where's that found, Don? Romans 10:13. And it's also found in Acts chapter 2. And verse 32, is it? Acts chapter 2 and 32, I think. And it's also found in the book of Joel, chapter 2. And maybe around 21 or 20. I got that twisted, I think. 2:21 in Joel. In Acts, okay. And then it's 2:32 in Joel, I think, okay. I'll look that up. I'm not sure. Okay. Joel 2:32 maybe. Yeah. Joel 2:32 and Acts 2:21. I just had that twisted. Okay. Anybody else got one? Okay, Clint, you had one. Good. I see your hand there, Jennifer. What's that? Oh, I thought I saw your hand going up. Oh, all right. Okay. Who else's hand do I see? Okay, Ruth. Good. That's a good verse. Okay. And who's going to give me another one? Thank you, Michelle. By the washing of regeneration. Good. Okay, Jeff? Good, that's a good one. John 1:12, okay. Now, anybody else? I don't want to cut you off if you've got one. Now, look, if you don't have one, I want to say this very seriously. You need to have one. Because the fact you need to have more than one is somebody should say to you, how do you really know that you're saved? Well, first of all, I believe in what God's Word says, and it's what that the Word of God tells me thus and thus at this place. Now, just before we close this, as we talk about the Word of God, how can you say or prove that the Word of God is true? If you're going to quote God's Word, how can you prove to somebody that you know that God's Word is true? It proves itself many ways. Tell me one. Come on, you're wasting my time. I only got 3 minutes. Okay. Okay, Ruth? Yeah, prophetically. The Word of God proves itself prophetically. Now, there's lots of examples of that in the Word of God. You ought to have one or two of them that you ought to be able to share to say that that proves the Word of God. Clint, another way. Historically, this book proves itself historically. The book proves itself over and over again historically. How else does the book prove itself? Personally, experientially, that is the weakest of the proofs, okay? But it does, okay? But of the that's because you're bringing in the human being, okay? What's another way that this book proves itself? Inspirationally, I suppose you could use that. What would you turn? Where would you turn for this? It's given by inspiration of God, but how does it prove itself inspirationally? Yeah, that's, again, going back to the experientially of the person that is saved, if that's what you meant. Okay. All right. All right. Pardon? The Jewish nation is a good example, too, of how it proves itself, all right? All right, Ruth? Medically. The book proves itself medically. It's not a medical book, my friends, but anything medically that it is touched on, this book proves it. Like, for instance, one of the big things, because Don just brought up about the Jews, all right, is circumcision. They were to be circumcised when? On the eighth day. It wasn't too long ago, and just in the last 100 or so years, that they found out medically that the eighth day is the best day for circumcision because why? Pardon? Yeah, that's where that which clots the blood is at the highest peak, at the highest level, when a boy is 8 days old. It doesn't make any difference. So you can talk about medically and other ways, too. I mean, we know that the fight disease when people ease themselves, what did they have to do in the Old Testament? What did they have to do when they eased themselves? Yeah, they had to take a shovel and bury it. The Word of God is very clear on that. Now listen, there's lots of countries, you can laugh about this, okay? There's lots of countries, like for instance, when I was over in Malaysia and so forth, the age for people of living is not very high because they do not do that, okay? And they have all kinds of diseases like you wouldn't believe. But God's Word makes it very clear that it should be covered up, okay? The Bible also proves itself scientifically. It's not a science book, but whatever it has touched on scientifically, it has proved itself over and over. So therefore, when you see how the Bible proves itself, you should be able to go to the Bible and say, I know that this book is true, and the book says thus and thus, so I know I am saved. You ought to be able to do that, my friends. Most of us here profess to be saved. Therefore, you ought to be able to turn to something in God's Word to tell you that you are saved. Now, just in case, there might be some here that don't have any verses or know where to look, I brought my verse sheets with me, okay? And if you would like one, the inside part has got my verses on assurance of salvation. This is only a short list. It's not very long. You can add to it. But I also got some verses in here in the Old Testament, because lots of times, I don't know about you and your witnessing, but when I witness, I meet Jews and Muslims. It's not the New Testament you can use, my friends. You need to be in the Old Testament. And so one of my good verses in the Old Testament is Numbers 23, 19 and 20, where it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. And as Don brought up that verse there on whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, it's right there in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, and that's important to know. So I'm going to have these. I'll put them on top of the piano. If you want them, fine. If you want one, you can have it. I designed it, you know, some of you might have this, that you can paste it into your Bible. And it can give you verses on other subjects as well. All right, I'm just going to ask Jonathan to close in a word of prayer. Okay, Jonathan? But just before he does that, remember, this is our work night for a short time for those that would like to help out. The cards, Mrs. Wilson brought the cards. I brought the envelopes and the things that we're stuffing. So we need to get that ready for the nursing homes and also for the hospital. So we'll meet downstairs if a couple of the fellows will put up some tables. Then we can meet around there and we'll do that. It shouldn't take us too long. Okay, Jonathan, you can close in prayer.